Welcome to the deep dive. We sort through the noise, the articles, the research, all of it, to bring you, well, the really potent insights. Today we're diving deep into the really dynamic world of art collecting in the global art market, specifically the last decade or so, say from 2014 up to 2025. Yeah, we spent a lot of time looking at some extensive material covering the most expensive paintings, these incredible art collections, and, you know, the major trends that have really shaken up this this high-stakes world. So our mission today for you is to pull out those key insights, the surprising facts, those moments that make you go, aha, you know, to help you really grasp the forces, sometimes hidden, that are shaping the contemporary art scene. And get ready, because we are talking serious numbers. Think paintings selling for hundreds of millions, entire collections going for, well, over $1 billion. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. The art world, it's never static, is it? It's this constantly evolving canvas. And the last decade, wow, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. We've seen just astonishing record-breaking sales, completely new kinds of artwork like NFTs popping up.
It really feels like the rule book is being rewritten right in front of us.
It really does. Yeah. And what's remarkable, I think, is the art world's capacity to just keep surprising us.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen these rediscovered masterpieces grab headlines globally, but also this really significant geographical shift, like Asia becoming much more relevant. It's a market that, despite its long history, can still, well, defy expectations,
yeah,
innovate.
Absolutely. And speaking of surprises, you almost have to start with the Salvator Mundi, don't you? The Da Vinci.
Hmm.
I mean, this painting was basically rediscovered in 2005. It had been mostly dismissed as just a copy for years. But after some really meticulous restoration, more and more experts started thinking, hang on, this might actually be by Leonardo himself. And then 2017, it goes up for sale. The final bid, just a staggering $450 million. A Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman,
yeah,
making it the most expensive artwork ever sold. What did a sale like that, that monumental price, what did it signal to the rest of the market?
Oh, it was a huge landmark moment, definitely.
Right.
Not just for the price tag, which was obviously immense, but for what it represented. It was this convergence of, you know, historical significance, the absolute thrill of rediscovery, and this intense global interest all focused on one object. That single sale just powerfully underlined the, well, the enduring power of attribution who painted it and rarity, especially when you attach a name as legendary as Da Vinci.
And then almost from a different universe entirely, we had the NFT phenomenon burst onto the scene. By 2021, Boople's Every Days, the first 5,000 days, it sold for an unbelievable $69 million at Christie's. For a moment there, it really seemed like non-fungible tokens, basically, you know, digital ownership backed by blockchain, were the absolute future of art.
Yeah, the Beeple sale, it was undeniably significant. It really did open doors for new forms of digital art, new ways of thinking about ownership. It pushed boundaries, absolutely. However, you have to say, the broader NFT market sort of, well, extinguished itself pretty quickly by 2023. It got really plagued by issues like artificial demand, market saturation, even fraud in some cases. So it ended up being a really potent example of how fast these speculative bubbles can form and then burst in certain parts of the art world. Raises big questions about, you know, sustainable value versus just pure hype.
Interesting. So beyond those really flashy headline-grabbing moments, we've also seen this massive digital transformation just sweep across the entire art market, haven't we? It's not just a niche thing anymore. Online art sales, they're a huge global force now.
Oh, absolutely. The online art market, I think the valuation was around, what, $14 billion in 2023? And projections have it growing to maybe $23 billion by 2030. That's a pretty steady growth rate, about 6% compound annual growth. And the drivers are pretty clear, right? Convenience, obviously. Global accessibility for buyers everywhere. Lower barriers to entry compared to the traditional market. And increased transparency, partly thanks to all the data that's now available. And of course, the COVID-19 pandemic just massively accelerated this shift. It basically forced the traditional auction houses, the galleries, everyone, to really embrace digital platforms, whether they wanted to or not.
And even in this digital space, the prices are hitting record levels. Jean-Michel Basquiat's, in this case, from 1983, it sold for $93 million. That made it the most expensive painting ever sold at an online auction. I mean, that's just a truly staggering figure for art changing hands digitally. But the changes aren't just about technology, are they? We're seeing more diversity in the market itself, especially this really impressive rise of Asia.
Yeah, that's one of the most compelling stories of the last decade, I think. This really pronounced geographical shift in market power. Hong Kong and mainland China, since the late 2010s, they've rapidly become these headline-grabbing markets. They're now the second biggest art market globally, right behind the U.S. And this rise, it's directly linked to the region's, you know, huge economic growth, increasing wealth. We're also seeing places like Taiwan and South Korea making really notable inroads. And then you've got countries like Japan, Singapore, Indonesia, the Philippines starting to emerge as, well, increasingly relevant players, too. It's really reshaping the global art map.
And it's not just the locations diversifying. We're seeing, kind of, new faces, new artists pop up on collectors' radars, works from the 80s, even really contemporary stuff, fetching incredible prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, this era isn't just about the old masters anymore. We're definitely witnessing a huge shift towards appreciating 20th and even 21st century talents. Artists like Zhao Wuqi, Francis Bacon, they're commanding sums that used to be reserved for, you know, historical giants. Bacon's works often go past $80 million now. And Jean-Michel Basquiat, wow, he's become such a consistent heavy hitter, several paintings over $85 million. His Untitled from 82 hit an astonishing $110 million back in 2017. But what really shows this forward-looking market, I think, are the multi-million dollar price tags for works by artists who are really contemporary. Like Adrian Gainey, his 2014 piece, The Sunflowers, 1937, sold for over $4 million just 2 years later in 2016. Or think about Matthew Wong's The Night Watcher from 2018. That fetched almost $6 million in 2021. And Amoko Bafo's Baba Diop crossed the $1 million mark in 2020. Pretty recent stuff.
Exactly. And these contemporary prices, they're more than just sales figures, aren't they? They're really strong indicators of what you might call future classics.
Mm-hmm.
If these artists are commanding sums like that today, it signals a pretty sophisticated market that's betting on their lasting impact, recognizing their unique voice, their cultural resonance right now. It definitely highlights a generational shift in collecting taste, people investing in the artists who are really shaping our current artistic conversation.
Right. But despite all these new trends, these exciting new artists, we should probably be clear. The old masters, they still reign supreme at the very, very top. You just have to glance at the highest sales figures. It proves the absolute top dollar still belongs to legends like Da Vinci, Gauguin, Picasso, Pollock, Rembrandt. Their work just had that unbeatable mix of history, prestige, notoriety, and, well, fundamental scarcity. And beyond the huge ones like Salvatore Mundi and that Beeple NFT, the last decade saw other really remarkable single sales, too. Like in 2019, Jeff Koons' sculpture Rabbits. It sold for over $91 million. For a brief time, that made it the most expensive work by a living artist, just edging out David Hockney's Portrait of an Artist, Cool with Two Figures, which went for $90 million the year before. And then in 2022, Andy Warhol's iconic shot Sage Blue Marilyn from 1964, that became the most expensive 20th century artwork ever sold, hit an incredible $195 million.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how the market simultaneously values the truly historic and the cutting-edge contemporary. Often for very different reasons. You know, while a Da Vinci carries that inherent historical weight, a Warhol captures the cultural zeitgeist, comments on celebrity, a Koons pushes conceptual boundaries. Each piece, really, regardless of its age or medium, tells a compelling story about its time, its place in art history.
Okay, so shifting gears a little from single pieces to entire collections. The last decade also saw some truly blockbuster collections hit the market. Historic sales that just redefined what expensive even means. And these aren't just about the art sometimes. They're about legacies and often some pretty compelling personal stories behind them.
That's a really key insight with these collection sales. They often become more than just financial deals. They turn into these cultural events, right? Reflecting the tastes, the passions of the people who built them, and sometimes, yeah, the dramatic endings of personal sagas.
Let's start with the Paul G. Allen collection. Paul Allen, you know, the visionary co-founder of Microsoft, he passed away in 2018. And his wish was for his huge art collection to be auctioned off, with all the money going to philanthropic causes.
Right. And that wish became reality at Christie's in November 2022. The event was perfectly named, actually. Visionary, the Paul G. Allen Collection. It became the most expensive artwork collection sale of all time, totaled a staggering $1.5 billion, with a B. The sheer quality, the depth of his collecting was just astounding. You had multiple pieces going over the $100 million mark. For instance, Georges Cizard's La Poseuse Ensemble Petite Version, that alone sold for $149.2 million. And a Paul Cézanne La Montagne Saint-Victoire fetched $137 million. It just shows the incredible caliber across, like, Impressionist and Post-Impressionist masters.
Wow. Then, a very different story, the collection of Harry and Linda Macklow. This one came to market because of, well, a more dramatic backstory. A pretty acrimonious divorce, as the report said. And that brought this really discerning collection, 65 pieces of 20th century art, to the auction block.
Yeah, that one was strategically sold in two parts, November 2021 and then May 2022. And ultimately, it achieved a combined total of $922 million, almost a billion itself. It was definitely a pivotal event for the art industry. Showcased this remarkable breadth of 20th century titans. Among the big pieces, a Mark Rothko 0.7 sold for $82.5 million. An Alberto Giacometti sculpture, the Nez, reached $78.4 million, really reflecting the collector's deep appreciation for, you know, modernist and post-war masterpieces.
And finally, the collection of David and Peggy Rockefeller. This is different again, a multi-generational collection. And David Rockefeller also intended the proceeds to go to philanthropy after his death.
Yes, Christie's handled that sale in 2018, and it was just incredibly diverse, a really captivating mix of impressionist, post-impressionist, modern American artists. You had iconic names like Monet, Gauguin, Manet, Renoir, Picasso, Matisse, Hopper, O'Keeffe. Just amazing range. The collection ultimately sold for a very impressive $835 million. And one of the standouts there was Picasso's Young Girl with a Flower Basket that commanded $115 million, really highlighting the enduring value of a meticulously curated collection with, you know, that kind of historical provenance.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting, I think. Let's dive into some of the actual most expensive paintings from the last decade. Explore some of the unique stories, the artistic significance behind these, well, immense prices.
Yeah, and when you look at the diversity, even within these super high value pieces, it tells you a lot about what collectors value beyond just the famous names. Take Gerhard Richter, for example. His abstract works like A, B, still hitting $33 million that continue to get top prices. His, that unique squeegee technique, the blur effect, it's instantly recognizable, pushing the boundaries of contemporary abstraction. Similarly, Wassily Kandinsky's Rigide et Courbé, which fetched $23.3 million. That really exemplifies his non-geometric abstract style from his time in Paris. Shows the market's appreciation for those pivotal moments in abstract art history. And it's not just Western masters commanding these sums. Ravi Varma's Radha in the Moonlight sold for the equivalent of $29.4 million. And remarkably, that sale was in Mumbai, not New York or London. That piece highlights this blend of Western techniques with distinctly Indian subject matter. It really signals a growing global appreciation for diverse cultural narratives in art.
That cross-cultural appeal is genuinely fascinating. We also see Edvard Munch's Pink in a Parbrone going for $54.4 million, which represents like a brighter, more outdoorsy style compared to his really famous, intense earlier stuff like The Scream, shows his range and collectors' wider interest. And sculpture's enduring appeal is clear too. Constantin Brancusi's La Muse in Dormi, The Sleeping Muse, selling for $57.4 million, a piece really influenced by ancient Egyptian, Assyrian, Iberian, even Asian art forms.
Right. And the market strength of Andy Warhol just persists, doesn't it? Look at 60 Last Suppers. It's this massive 32-foot painting showing 60 silk screen prints of Da Vinci's masterpiece. It was among his final creations, sold for $60.9 million. Just proves his lasting cultural and market impact. And for an early pop art example, Roy Lichtenstein's masterpiece, that went for $165 million. Instantly recognizable with its classic Bende dots, you know, those uniform dots from comic book printing and the speech bubble. It's a testament to artistic innovation and just iconic imagery.
Okay, so what does all this mean for the absolute pinnacle of the market? Let's zoom right into the very highest priced paintings we've seen over this decade.
Yeah, at the very, very top, each sale tells a rich, often pretty complex story. Take Amedeo Modigliani's Nu Couchée, The Red Nude. Controversial in its day, it sold for $170 million in 2015 to the Chinese businessman Liu Yuqian. Then there's Picasso's Les Femmes d'Alger, version O, his vibrant homage to Delacroix, fetched $179.4 million, also in 2015, sold to Hamad bin Yassim bin Jaber Al-Thani of Qatar. We also saw that pair of Rembrandt portraits, pendant portraits of Martin Sulemans and Upchin Coppet, really rare full-size wedding portraits. They were jointly purchased by the Louvre and the Rijksmuseum for $180 million in 2015. A really interesting deal ensuring this cultural treasure is shared between France and the Netherlands. They rotate it. Mark Rothko's Numb 6, Violet, Green, and Red, sold privately for $186 million back in 2014. But this one comes with, well, its own set of complexities. This particular sale became central to the whole Bouvier affair, where the art dealer Yves Bouvier faced accusations of basically massively inflating prices to his client, the Russian oligarch Dmitry Rybolovlev. It raises really important questions about transparency in high-end private sales, which remains an ongoing challenge in this market.
Wow, it's incredible how much more than just the art itself is often wrapped up in these top-tier transactions.
Indeed. Then you have Andy Warhol's Sage Blue Marilyn, hitting $195 million in 2022. Sold to the mega dealer Larry Gagosian, just an iconic pop art piece commenting on celebrity, mortality, consumerism, all of it. Another Rembrandt, the Standard Bearer, a self-portrait from 1636, purchased by the Rijksmuseum for $198 million in 2022, a specific effort to bring this important cultural work back to the Netherlands. Jackson Pollock's Gnome Point 17, iconic drip painting, abstract expressionist masterpiece, famously featured in Life magazine. That sold for $200 million in 2015. Paul Gauguin's Nefea Fea, I Popo, When Will You Marry? $210 million in 2014. Painted in Tahiti, a really profound comment on the clash of cultures. Sold to the state of Qatar, Willem de Kooning's Interchange. Sold privately for $300 million in 2015. For a time, it was the most expensive painting in the world. It's now on loan at the Art Institute of Chicago.
And finally, sitting at the absolute pinnacle, the undisputed record holder, Leonardo da Vinci's Salvator Mundi, which we mentioned earlier, right? At that unbelievable $450.3 million in 2017. Despite some ongoing scholarly debate about its authenticity, the sheer intensity of the bidding, its undeniable significance in art history, it just cemented its place. The most expensive painting ever sold. It truly shattered all previous records. So we've explored all these internal shifts, these record-breaking figures within the market. But what happens when the outside world, you know, dramatically intervenes? How susceptible is this high-stakes art world to broader global events?
That's a really crucial point to consider, because for all its perceived exclusivity, maybe even insulation, the art world is actually deeply interconnected with and yet profoundly susceptible to external forces. Take, for instance, the huge and ongoing impact of the war in Ukraine. It's had immediate financial repercussions. Many ties were cut very quickly with Russian galleries, artists, major Russian art auctions by the big houses like Sotheby's and Christie's. They were called off, leading to estimated losses probably in the tens of millions just based on previous year's sales. There have also been bans on art exports to Russia from places like the UK and other countries too. And some Russian buyers are actually banned from participating in sales altogether.
Right.
And beyond those immediate financial hits, the market disruption, this conflict has forced, I think, a deeper reevaluation of things like ethical provenance. It's pushed collectors, institutions to scrutinize the origins of artworks with, well, renewed vigor. It's also probably accelerating the search for more secure digital registries for art ownership, highlighting the market's push towards transparency, especially in uncertain times. And while there have been many fundraising efforts for Ukraine using art, which is great, we haven't really seen a direct or, you know, notable impact on the list of the absolute most expensive individual art pieces or paintings themselves. Not yet, anyway. It just shows how the market, even with all its opulence, is fundamentally intertwined with global ethics, politics, everything.
What an incredible deep dive. The sheer dynamism of the art market over this past decade is just, well, it's stunning. We've covered everything from the rediscovery of a forgotten masterpiece fetching nearly $500 million to the crazy rise and, well, partial fall of new digital forms like NFTs, plus the enduring power of the old masters, alongside the really exciting emergence of new collecting regions, especially in Asia.
It really is a microcosm of broader global trends, isn't it? It reflects shifts in wealth, certainly, technological advancements, definitely, and geopolitical events, absolutely. And while the numbers themselves are just staggering, what's often overlooked, I think, are the rich stories behind each sale. Whether it's driven by philanthropy, like with Allen or Rockefeller, or a dramatic personal event like the Maclow divorce, or just profound cultural significance. Each piece, each transaction, it's like a chapter in a much larger story, showing how art continues to reflect and sometimes even shape our world.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something maybe provocative for you, our listener, to mull over. Considering all the rapid changes, the record-breaking sums we've talked about, what do you think will be the next frontier in art collecting? And maybe which new face from today's market do you predict might command the highest prices in the next decade? What art form, maybe one we haven't even fully imagined yet, might just turn out to be the next NFT? Lots to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the evolving canvas of the art world. We'll see you next time.